Colin Campbell, you're with NC Insider. Your most recent column, you talked about these six constitutional amendments, how basically some of the details are left out of these amendments, and we're going to be voting on them before we know all the details. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so most of these amendments are fairly short pieces of legislation and basically give you the language that would actually appear in the state's constitution if the amendment passes. But there's a need to have what's termed enabling legislation to basically put in the actual law books how the amendments will work. So the example of that is like the voter ID amendment. The amendment language itself just says you'll be required to have a photo identification to vote, but it doesn't say there what the identification would be. So is that your driver's license? Is that a student ID? Is that a Costco membership card that has your picture on it? It doesn't say, and that won't be spelled out until the end of November after the election when lawmakers come back to town to create the enabling legislation that goes along with these amendments. So essentially they're asking voters to sort of give them the benefit of the doubt, say if you like the idea of voter ID, go ahead and vote for it now. We'll figure out the details of exactly how it works and what the requirements would be after the election, which I think is a bit problematic if you want to know the details before you make a decision.
There are probably other instances of that, right, where, you know, we're not going to really know what's going on with some of these amendments. And what are some more examples of that?
Yeah, so my understanding is that 5 out of 6 will require some kind of enabling legislation. The only one that doesn't is the income tax cap that would put in the Constitution that taxes couldn't go above 7%. Obviously, that one's very straightforward. You don't need anything that spells out that in more detail. But the other things, there's one that involves the rights of crime victims in criminal proceedings. That's something that is going to be fairly detailed on the back end, and we'll need some more details to go along with it. The other big one is on the governor's appointment powers. There's a constitutional amendment that the language on the ballot refers to some changes in how the elections board is structured, but there's also a line that says clarifying appointment powers, and that has the potential in the language to prevent the governor from appointing to a lot of different state boards and commissions that deal with environmental issues, employment issues, and it's unclear exactly what the appointment structure would look like if that power is taken from the governor in its current form. And that sort of thing we're not going to know the details of until late November if this thing passes.
Now, you've covered North Carolina politics for a while now. Have you seen this sort of thing before where this sort of clarifying legislation is needed after voters vote on these types of things?
You know, we've had a lot of constitutional amendments over the most recent decades, and from looking back at the history of it, it looks like over the last couple decades, only one constitutional amendment has been passed without some form of enabling legislation. The typical approach for constitutional amendments is actually to have that in the same bill. So the bill will say, here's what's going to change in the Constitution, here's what's going to be on the ballot, and here's what's going to change in sort of the general statute law books implementing that. So voters really have a full picture of what something's going to do. So this is sort of an unusual approach, and I think maybe designed to sort of make these more politically successful by not having some of the details that people might find more objectionable out there on the front end.
Now there's some controversy flaring up, and of course this could change. We're talking on Monday at about 11:20. Representative David Lewis is potentially, well, he's asking Speaker Moore if lawmakers could come back and basically write the language for this on how it would appear on ballots and take that away from a commission. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, so that's we're not sure yet if there's the support to actually come back. Obviously, David Lewis is a pretty prominent member of House leadership, but we haven't heard from the Senate yet. We haven't heard an official word from the House. If they, one, have the support needed to come back, they have to get a petition by, I think, 3/5 of their membership in both caucuses to call a special session in the first place. And then, of course, we'd need the votes to sort of supersede what the Constitutional Amendments Commission comes up with and instead have a different ballot captions. Now, I should note the amendments themselves come with a description, and that description will appear on the ballot, but there is a caption above that that's sort of a title or subtitle of sorts that this Constitutional Amendments Commission, which is two Democrats, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, and then the Legislative Services Officer, who's kind of like the manager for the legislature, who's a Republican, and there's concern among Republicans and Representative Lewis that because Democrats, a lot of them have come out against some of the amendments, that these titles or captions will be written in such a way as to bias voters against the amendments. And so he wants to have the legislature come back and write their own versions of that that would perhaps be more favorable to the amendments. So we'll see if that happens. I think creating a special session in the late weeks of July is going to be a challenge just because a lot of these folks have gone on vacation and may not be able to get back to Raleigh. But we should know in the next couple days if they've got the support to do that. And this is not just some sort of threat to try to keep this Amendments Commission in line and putting something less controversial out there as their description.
You also mentioned in your column the Democratic response to these amendments and something that they're calling Nix the Six. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the challenge when you have six constitutional amendments on the ballot is exactly how do you deal with the messaging campaign to inform voters about what they do and how they should vote. And the Democrats, I think the official party organization hasn't taken a stance, but we've heard from the governor and we've heard from a couple of key Democratic lawmakers that they're starting the slogan Nix All Six, basically encouraging voters to reject all six amendments as sort of an overreach by the legislature. I see that as potentially effective for them because it avoids having to explain all the nitty-gritty details of six different amendments and whether, you know, some of them are obviously more controversial than others, but at the same time it's sort of a broad brush because you have some that are less controversial. You know, there's a controversy over whether the amendment for the right to hunt and fish is actually necessary or not, but of course I'm sure the majority of North Carolinians think that hunting and fishing are important, so they may be inclined to support that. The crime victims' rights amendment is something that has support among both parties, although it does have some concerns about unintended consequences within the court system, something that could have, I think, broad support. But I think in order to try to give voters a simple message, the Democrats are going for this Nix All Six approach and trying to get people to reject all of them as opposed to saying yes to some and no to others.
I see. So you think it may be successful in terms of simplification, but I guess there is potential that it could backfire with some of the less controversial amendments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think if Democrats put this messaging out there, they're going to get pushback from Republicans who are going to say, look, this party is opposed to hunting and fishing. They're opposed to voter ID. They're opposed to the rights of crime victims. You know, why are you listening to them? And that's something that may be confusing to voters or that may resonate with them on that side. So it's certainly a risky maneuver politically, but it's one that I think they're trying to get out in front of, in part because of the particularly impactful ones involving the governor's powers. They're really concerned about this appointments amendment that would really severely diminish the power of Governor Roy Cooper if it were to pass.
All right. Well, Colin Campbell, NC Insider, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.